Blog Talk Radio.
All the spot analysis. Am I crazy?
No.
Are we on a podcast?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna come get some.
If you want some, come.
Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get
some. My
appreciate
favorite
it.
Though.
Am I?
You're my favorite.
Well, thank you
yeah,
so much.
I do not. Put me on the e-meter and ask me a question, and the meter would float.
Hey guys, it's Chris C, Miami Six Man, right here on Come Get Some Extra Scientology Edition. And as some people know me, 1.1 podcast guy. How depressing. But anyway, oh man, I have got part two of this great interview with award winning journalist, BBC's own John Sweeney. A part two is every bit as good as part one. We got 10 questions. We talk about North Korea, all kinds of great stuff on today's show. You're all going to love, especially if you loved part one. But before I get into part two of this, I want to address the ignorant bliss in the room. Wow. I talked about this once before, but apparently, Davey Boy LaCroix here continues to undermine my ability to think for myself, which is kind of disappointing, but whatever. I just want to say this, and this is all I'm really going to say when it is, if you're in an interview with somebody who's being polite to you and just asking you questions, and you feel like you're on the ropes, you're doing something wrong. You can't feel like you're on the ropes unless you have the inability to respond to the question and you feel like you're cornered because all these questions are coming at you that you just don't have an answer for. And what does that say? On top of that, there's been other indie news where I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about this guy, but this guy said all psychs, he claims he's not talking about all psychiatrists, which is really funny. All psychs should be rounded up in concentration camps and murdered, and the world would be a better place. And in the ultimate in L. Ron Hubbard apologetics, he says that psychs are just bad people, not psychiatrists. And I'm like, well, why do you make the industry of death museum then? So if you're trying to claim you are the answer to all the problems and this is the way to go, and your answer is to round up all the bad people and kill them in concentration camps, you scare the shit out of me. And I don't think I need to hear what you have to say anymore. Yikes. Yikes, guys. Oh, man. Oh, man. So I got a lot of good stuff coming up. Real quick. It's just real quick. Go back to what I was saying before. And I talk about this in 2 weeks on part two of the interview that starts next week with my next very special guest. Why would you want to reform something so bad, something that's so inherently wrong as Scientology can be? You don't want to reform the Westboro Baptist Church, do you? I'm sure they have good qualities. They come to Mass, they pray to Jesus. They also picket at funerals for soldiers who've come back from defending our country, in the U.S. at least. And in the shout at the funeral that gays are bad and all that stuff. And so why would you want to reform that? Wouldn't you want to just step away from that and get involved in something else? I'm sure Hitler has some good qualities. I'm sure he was a nice guy once in a while. He was killing entire people. You don't want to reform the Nazi party, right? You just move on to a different party. Just a little common sense for thought there. I want to try something here. Let's see if I can do this. I tried to call the Orlando org last week and it went nowhere. And I'm going to try to call someone else this week and have a conversation if they'll let me. Ha ha ha.
Parking on Suncoast. This is Luke. How can I help you?
Hi, Luke. How you doing? I'm Chris, and I'm calling from my podcast live on the air. I just wanted to give you guys a chance to say something great about the things you're doing to help the people. Do you have a minute just to talk real quick?
Well, I can get you on the phone with somebody.
Okay, you're not comfortable
talking?
Let me
get you on the phone with the right person.
With the right person. Okay, great.
Hold on.
So I'm waiting to be put on the phone with the right person. Narcanon on Suncoast, see if they have some nice things to say.
Hello,
I'm
this
sure
is Derek
a lot of great stuff. Hi, Eric. How are you doing? I'm Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Well, was it explained to you that I'm actually on the air on a podcast? I just want to ask you some questions about what you do there, talk about the great things you're doing to help people, if we can, for just a minute.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Great, great. So you guys help people with drug addiction and alcoholism, is that right?
Correct. We're a substance abuse treatment facility.
Substance abuse. Now, if I can ask you, what are the things that you guys do to help people that we can look forward to if we had somebody in our families that needed help?
The entire purpose of our program is actually to handle the underlying reasons as to why someone uses drugs and or alcohol in the first place. We view addiction as something that does have an underlying causation to it. And when you can handle those things, be it grief or depression or anger or self-esteem issues or trauma or abuse or any of the numerous other things that lead people to go down the path of addiction, and you really address that and handle it and then give a person the skills and tools they need to be able to move forward with their life, the person can quite literally leave their past behind them.
Well,
I hope that answers
great
the question.
If that works out. You know, I understand where you're coming from with that answer. That answer actually, you know, it is the answer, right? So, of course, he answers the question. I've heard things called, like, the introspection rundown. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I've heard bad things about it. I've heard good things about it. What can you tell me about it from your perspective?
Say that again, sir. I'm not 100% sure what you're referring to, actually.
The introspection rundown? Introspection? I might be saying it wrong.
You know, I'm not familiar, actually.
Okay. All right. And there's also another treatment that I'm hearing about, and I'm not trying to corner you here. I'm really not.
Sure.
About a sauna where you take some niacin and you sit in the sauna for some hours to, I guess, sweat out the bad stuff.
Just sweat out the drugs and toxins, correct.
Now, is there a place I can go? Because the only place I've ever seen any explanation for this, I've done a little research because I want people to get the right help they can. And if the right help they can get is with Narcanon, great. If it's not, you know, I don't want to suggest people go there. But I can't find anything scientifically anywhere to verify the claims of what that process is. You know, you have fatty tissue holding all the toxins from your life in there. Is there anything
the
you can lead me to?
All the
scientific
studies that have been done are... Yeah, you could go to the Narcanon.org website. All the scientific studies are actually right
there. Right, Narcanon's website. Right, so what I want to do, as somebody who wants to... So if I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to do research on this car, right? I'm not going to listen to what the car salesman says. I'm going to look up online. I'm going to look up the car manufacturer. I'm going to look up its specs. I'm going to find out if this car is good for me. I don't want to hear if this Toyota is good from Toyota. I want to hear from people who've driven, you know, a Toyota, or people who can tell me the science behind why this Toyota is safer than the Dodge, right? So where can I go online? Where can I go as a concerned person, a concerned citizen with a family member that needs help, to find out the science behind this process of sweating out the fatty tissue with the toxins in it? Is there a place I can go for that information? Just to verify.
I mean, anything that I would say, anything that I would say would be a breach in confidentiality regarding people that have been through the program in the past. So I couldn't point you in a direction to anybody in particular that has done it.
Okay.
I can say for myself, because I'm a success story from the program. But otherwise, I wouldn't feel comfortable giving you any other direction other than that, no.
Yeah,
there are plenty of people out there that have done it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got a couple more questions. I'm just curious about. You mentioned earlier about things that got them on the wrong track, like maybe the wrong prescription medications, right? Like for depression or whatever led them down that track.
Sure.
Would you have somebody who's not addicted to drugs, who's not an alcoholic, mm-hmm. who is suffering from a mental condition and taking medication for it, would you want to see and talk to that person to try to get them to stop taking that medication because it's harming them more than it's helping them in your eyes? Is that something you guys would do there? Does that make any sense to you?
I mean, we're not a dual diagnosis facility. So
mm-hmm.
short answer, no. I would try to offer, you know, some guidance, but I'm not a physician. You know, I'm a licensed counselor. I'm not a physician, so I wouldn't be the person qualified to make that decision one way or another without having, you know, the information really at hand.
But it's not unheard of. Like if I had a friend that was hanging out with some friends that was Scientologist, but he wasn't, and he mm-hmm. was suffering from depression, say, and he was taking mm-hmm. depression medication, would his friends recommend to him, hey, maybe you should go talk to Narcanon and they can help you with this depression? Would they do that? Is that something that makes sense to you?
No, that's not what we're – no, we wouldn't do that. That's not what we do here.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. I think you answered all the questions I have for now because I don't want to push you. And I caught you off guard on the air with us, and I don't want to – you know, I don't want to be improper about this. And I really appreciate you. You've been very open and you know, you've been as honest as you could. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, you take care.
You too, sir. All right. Bye-bye.
Interesting conversation. Very interesting conversation. He's scared to answer questions, man. It sounds like freaking Dave. Anyway, that was interesting. I can't believe they took the call. I don't think I did anything illegal there because I identify myself as being on the air and asked permission to ask these questions. I think I asked pretty respectfully and I think I got the runaround a little bit because I do believe I remember hearing something about Kyle Brennan's mom, Victoria, being called and asked to send him to Narcanon, which makes no sense based on what this man just said. Anyway, hey, that was fun. Let's get on to I want everybody to get their own look at Narcanon and see what, you know, what they want to make of it themselves, and there you are. Let's go ahead and get to part two of John Sweeney's interview here.
Let's be clear about this. Scientology says it's a religion. You walk into a church and they'll say, you know, honor Jesus. You walk into a mosque and they'll say, follow the prophet. You walk into a synagogue and they'll say, don't eat bacon sandwiches and marry a nice Jewish
right.
I'm not an expert on any religion, and in particular Judaism, but you get the
yeah.
joke. When you walk into the Scientology Center on Tottenham Court Road in London, or in New York, or in LA, or in Clearwater, no one will tell you that 75 million years ago, a space alien Satan called Lord Xanu brought space aliens to the planet Earth and blew them up with hydrogen bombs in volcanoes. And the remains of these pesky dead space alien souls have stuck to us and cause chaos and madness and war and inhumanity. And only Scientology can clear you of this space alien dead soul affliction. If I tell anyone this, I may well kill myself because it's too powerful a secret, and I may well kill the listener.
Mm-hmm.
I am living proof that Scientology is, in an English phrase, a load of old bollocks.
You're healthy. 10 years later.
I'm not very healthy. I can't run like Usain Bolt, but I'm pretty healthy.
Right.
And I'm healthy enough, thank you very much. But what I am is, I've been doing this now for a decade, and nothing. And here I am. So therefore, I would argue this is a cult. It's a piece of brainwashing. And so I think you can be, and I've met people who've told me they were in the cult, in Scientology, and they were told, they watched me losing my temper, and they were told, this is an evil man who's trying to do down Scientology, and look how evil and dark he is. And the flip side of that, Chris, is while they were watching me, lose my temper, they realized that I had been goaded. I had been pushed to do that by the church. And there was something wrong and dark about this movement of another human being. Even though he's a critic, there's something wrong and dark about that. So I think what happens is there are people who are inside the cult who are doing dark stuff, who suddenly get a glimmer, you know, like the cat in the Matrix, a jump which goes, this isn't right. And what happens is over time, more and more of this stuff comes through, more and more of this stuff comes through, and then they and then it's time to get out.
Well, I mean, so do you think, I'm curious, I thought this might be what they were doing in the Scientology and Me. Do you think they were trying to see if it would work on a journalist, and then during the course of this interview, in the course of this investigation, you would become a doting Scientologist and report on how great it is? Is that what they thought?
No, I think that they, I think that they sensed my cynicism was too deep, or my skepticism was too deep. But what they did do was work out that if they really riled me and I would explode,
they'd get that video.
So what I think their tactic was not conversion, but derision would be the end of me. And also I think they had an American understanding of what TV reporters in general, presenters, seem very kind of manicured and bouffant hairdoed, and a little bit, and they are pillars of the community. Whereas the British public, the great British public, because I'm a BBC reporter, they pay my wages, and I love them for that. and they put up with me. They seem to have, or they seem to get it quite quickly that I've been wound up. And it feels like imagine a teacher at school who you quite like, who's not a bad guy, and suddenly, you know, he's just at the end of his tether, and he flips.
Right.
It felt like, but the great British public got that, and they said, we're not going to put into this guy. And genuinely, that's people who bought me drinks. I got arrested in Pakistan 2 years later, 2009, by the ISI, the Pakistani Secret Police, who people, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, say they kill people and they torture people, and they're not nice. Against a, you know, a horrific enemy in the Taliban, but nevertheless, these are not people you want to mess with lightly. And there's a guy who speaks beautiful English, and you know, I'm arrested with my cameraman, my fixer, and the guy says, "Who are you? And can you prove it?" And I said, "My name's John Sweeney, and I work for BBC Panorama. Can you prove it? Here's my passport. Here's my press pass." And there's about 10 of these guys, and he gives it to one of the goons, my passport, press pass, and the guy gets into a car. This goon gets off in the car and drives off into the dust. And then the main man turns to me and says, "Who are you, and can you prove it?" And I look him in the eye, and I say, "My name is John Sweeney, and I work for BBC Panorama, and I have 7 million hits on YouTube. Look me up." And he comes back, goes away, comes back with my passport and press pass. Clearly having seen me lose my rag for the Church of Scientology, and says, "I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Sweeney, for any mistake. I do hope your stay here in Pakistan has not been an inconvenience."
Oh, wow.
So I'd like to thank the church.
Yeah.
He's famous everywhere, apart from North Korea. it was a very, very funny moment. But to be honest, in the moment when it happened, it was dark. Sarah and Bill Brown, wonderful cameraman, it was very, very funny. And at the end, well, after I lost my temper, we went off to a cafe. By the way, these stories, if anybody's interested, are told in a book called Church of Fear.
Love the book.
That you can get that. You can't buy it at a bookshop for reasons you're. Listeners will guess, but you can get it on Amazon, and it's got some funny stories, and there's a lovely moment afterwards when I feel clearly, oh God, I'm going to get fired, and Sarah, who's always Brian Spark, is worried, and Bill says he's Northern Irish and he's been in lots of the troubles and he's been to war zones around the world, in the Middle East, all sorts of difficult places. And Bill says, in his kind of slightly grim Northern Irish accent that he affects, John, I just want you to know I'm tendering my resignation. I'm leaving the BBC because of your behavior today, and I'm joining the Sea Org. I went, you're not, are you? And Bill said, no, just winding up, mate.
Wow.
I'm not joining the Sea Org. And then we started laughing, and then we couldn't stop. And so what I had, so you remember, is I had the affection of my friends and colleagues, and beyond that, of my family when I got back to Britain. And I would say to any young people and old, but mainly young people because you're more vulnerable, that when an organization says, when your friends, your old friends, your oldest friends and your family, the people who love you most in the world, say, I'm worried about this stuff you're into, listen to those people.
Yeah.
Listen to people who love you. Anything on earth that says, don't listen to your mum and dad, don't talk to your mum and dad, that's bad.
Yep.
Run.
I would say it's okay to believe anything, but always question everything. That's one of my sayings.
Hmm.
If you can't question it, they say you can't, something's wrong. Even my church, I go to church. Church tells me, question it if you have to. And they encourage it, you know.
We have a, people must be free to believe in anything or nothing, and I will respect that belief. I don't have to agree with it, but what I certainly don't have to do is say I'm not going to criticize this. I'm not going to I respect the right to believe and the right not to believe, but also the right to practice scrutiny and mockery too, as well.
Yep.
You have a belief, you can make jokes about it. Not cruel, not horribly cruel. There's an edge to this where you there's a limit to this. You can't be repulsive, but nevertheless, some degree of humor and mockery is good. Professor Robert Lipton, the American military psychiatrist who treated brainwashed GIs and others, victims of the Chinese communists, said that an open mind and tolerance of humor and mockery is the tremendous antidote to the authoritarian or totalitarian mindset. Let's not forget that.
Absolutely. Let me ask you real quick, because I know we're running out of time here. You did that was a pretty big expose you did, especially part two when you brought in Mike Rinder on the deal. Are you surprised that it's still going today with all the attention it's gotten in the media and how much people actually know about it now?
Yes, I am surprised that it's still going. But I think there are people who are locked in with their families. So that I would, if the idea, if you kind of understand that you're born into Scientology, and most of the people who are left in are born into it, second and third generation Scientologists. If they leave, they may not be able to talk to their mum and dad, their brothers and sisters, and their kids ever again. That's a terrible lock. So that lock frightens people. There is digital power, our new information technology, means that in the old days, to find Russell Miller's wonderful book, Barefaced Messiah, you would have to go to a bookshop, a second-hand bookshop probably, track it down, buy it, read it secretly, and then begin to think, this isn't right. These days, one click your mouth can get you to me screaming. And the moment you see me screaming, you go, that's a bit weird. Why is that guy doing that?
Yep.
Why is he so angry? What's upset him so much? because it's not just anger. There's fear there in me, fear in my voice. And then I hope you would go to, for example, my documentary.
Get the whole thing, yeah.
Me. Possibly you might go into the book. I think you would do this more if you're English than American. If you're American, you might go to Going Clear. And then you might read Russell Miller's book. By the time you've read Going Clear, Barefaced Messiah, and Church of Fear, then you've got a pretty good idea of the reality of the Church of Scientology. They say, I'm a bigot, psychotic, and a liar.
John, I watched their video on you when they put together their own production, their own documentary on John Sweeney in Panorama, and I think that was helpful to you as well, to be honest.
No, lots of... I have a slight... people still buy me drinks. So I was undercover in Egypt the other day, and and I'd doing a story about a migrant ship that sank, and I was in Cairo Airport. We were about to leave. An Egyptian and Londoner came up to me and said, I thought your documentary on Scientology was really good, Mr. Sweeney. And I called over to my producer, James. I said, James, listen to this guy. He's in a Scientology film. And James said, John, we're undercover. Shut up.
The cover's going to get harder and harder, isn't it?
No, I can't do that. But I don't... What's weird about this is that I think Scientology put that video out for me to be ashamed, for me to walk away, to abandon my career as a journalist, and...
Well, they thought they ruined you.
And to destroy me. The law of unintended consequences held true. and it made me nationally and internationally famous as somebody who stands up to bullying.
Yep.
And weirdos. And I'd like to thank the church.
Yes.
It's so horribly wrong. All I would say to anybody who's in it is get out. Get out. You're spoiling your life. They say, Scientologists think that we are, people on the outside, are dumb and stupid and cruel and our lives are mean and nasty. Now, there are some mean and nasty people out there, and there are great difficulties that people pursue. But on the whole, humanity, in whichever country you go to, there are some awful exceptions at the moment, but nevertheless, most places, most people are good. Most people are kind and sweet. Give them a chance. The idea that we're all being screwed by this space alien Satan, that's rubbish.
That's right. Thank you so much, man. Let me tell you, I got to go ahead. I'm going to do something to do with every guest on the show. It's called 10 Questions, Think Fast. There's some funny stuff, some silly stuff, something that might make you think. And if you need to pass, you can pass on a question if you're not comfortable.
Sure.
All right, let's do this. Question number one, to Think Fast 10 Questions with John Sweeney. True or false, Tommy Davis has fresh breath?
Fresh breath means what?
His breath doesn't smell bad.
He smells quite sweet, I recall.
Oh, very good. You would know. Number two.
By the way, he's not my type.
Okay. Number two, finish this sentence. If I could do Scientology and me again, I would do what different?
Nothing.
Nothing different. Good. Number three.
I apologize now. Nothing different.
Nothing different, all right. Number three, what would you prefer, to spend 3 hours in the trunk of a car in Zimbabwe or 3 hours of watching Psychiatry, the Industry of Death videos?
3 hours in the trunk of a car in Zimbabwe.
That's astounding to hear. All right. Number four. You've been in America quite a bit. What's the strangest thing you find about us Americans or America?
That Scientology is a religion.
That is strange. Number five. I'm kind of new to the Scientology stuff the last 6-7 months. Am I in over my head, do you think?
No. It's fascinating. It helps you understand. It helps me understand people have been brainwashed by, for example, Islamic State. And I have met Scientologists, believe it, ardent, passionate Scientologists who have realized, who've woken up and their brainwashing has crumbled. If that can happen with Scientology, it can happen with other things, for example, Islamic State, maybe the North Koreans too. So the idea, understanding how Scientology does its strange dark magic on people will help us perhaps understand cults, death cults like Islamic State or nation state cults like North Korea, which are more powerful and more terrifying and significantly darker than Scientology. It's a fascinating thing to study and to try and work out. It's also wrong. And I feel when I challenge Scientology, even, you know, doing a talk like this, I feel my time has not been wasted.
Good. All right. Cool deal. Number six. I saw your North Korea documentary. And I get a very strong Scientology feel from the North Koreans, the way they run their, the way they run the country. It feels to me, tell me if I'm off a little bit here, true or false, North Korea is bluffing in doing all this missile launching for show.
Yes, that's what I feel. But North Korea is Scientology without Tom Cruise.
Right.
Scientology is North Korea without nuclear weapons. The same denial of information, the same restriction of vocabulary, the same sense that you demonize the other non-Scientologists, the rest of the world, the North Koreans, are in some way inherently evil to be smashed to pieces. And this is all part of brainwashing gibberish that comes with a cult. Scientology is stranger, perhaps, because its cultishness happens in places like Florida and California, in the greatest open society on earth. North Korea and Islamic State brainwashing happens in dark countries where people have had much, much less freedom. So Scientology is worth looking at and investigating and then challenging, because it has the power to brainwash people in an open society. That's peculiar.
Yeah, what stood out to me was the constant mention of the impending bombing of by America, and there was no impending bombing coming.
Yes, no, that is, I'm some of my friends have been to North Korea, disagree with me. But I think this is a bit like the Wizard and the Wizard of Oz, who's threatening doom and gloom until Toto, the little dog, moves the curtain aside, and you see an old fool puffing and puffing. That's what I think.
The biggest difference is if someone next to David Miscavige, you know, betrays him in some way, he feels, David Miscavige punches him, knocks him silly, in North Korea, you get killed. That's the difference. As far as I can see,
the difference is, and that's a huge difference, and we should note that.
Yes.
But the fundamental things of mind control, of being able, you know, one leader being able to push ordinary and potentially decent people to do dark and horrible things to others, that's a commonality.
Okay. What's the name of that again? And I want to promote that. What was the name of that documentary?
It's a BBC Panorama film called North Korea Undercover, and that too is on YouTube. And I've written a book about it called North Korea Undercover, which is published in the States.
Beautiful. It's an enlightening thing. If you're worried about North Korea, that helps. Number seven. You're one of the few people I've got on here who said they're a Doctor Who fan, who's truly a true Doctor Who fan. So I want to ask you, just as one Doctor Who fan to another, what's your favorite episode or arc of the new run since 2000, I think it was 5 or 3 or something?
It's the Autons, the nesting consciousness, plastic wheelie bins gobbling up people and turning them into plastic. Because I challenged Vladimir
Wow, Putin. The first episode.
Yeah, I challenged Vladimir Putin in a mammoth museum. These are the woolly elephant of yesteryear, as it were, in a mammoth museum in Siberia. And Putin has had bad Botox, And I right up close, it's, this film too is on YouTube, and it's called Putin's Gamble. And then I did it, you can see it again, I did a film called Trump, the Kremlin Candidate, which I believe also is up on YouTube.
Nice.
And, we put that out in January this year. But what I wanted to do was push my finger forwards and press Putin's plastic-looking flesh to see whether he was, this was my theory, that he was a Doctor Who-style Auton, i.e. And I knew had I touched him, I would have been shot dead by the Kremlin security behind him.
Yes.
So I,
wow.
Frankly, Chris, I'm a bit pussy.
All right. Number eight. A lot, sticking with the Doctor Who theme, if you could go on a BBC report, you know, do one of these panorama specials, and take any Doctor Who companion with you, who would you like to take?
Oh, it would be the, I'm showing my age now, but when I was 13, what was the, Tom Baker's assistant?
There was a couple.
Yeah, but there was the who was some kind of Stone Age woman, or from a Stone Age culture.
Oh, I don't remember her.
She was a beautiful woman and wore a and had a kind of Stone Age Stone Age woman simplicity, and I'm embarrassed to say short skirt.
I think I know who you're talking about. I don't remember her name.
Whoever that was, anyway, her. Listen, I was 13.
Tom Baker was one of my favorite, by the way.
Yeah, no, Tom Baker was. There was a fantastic spoof on the BBC Radio 4, where they did a impressionist stuff, and what Tom Baker, they would have somebody phoning up various DIY stores in Britain, asking for a sonic screwdriver or a new, and they would say, oh, I don't know which department. Where do you say you live again? Gallifrey.
That's great. I have to find that. It's probably online somewhere.
Anyway, whoever that woman is, she was the she would be my pick.
All right, I'm with that. I think that might have been one of my favorite, if it's who I'm thinking of. Okay. Number nine, what's next for John Sweeney?
If I told you, I'd have to shoot you and everybody listening.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. All right, you writing any more books?
Yeah, I'm. I've written a thriller called Cold, which some people might think is about Putin's Russia, but it's not about Putin. And then I've written a new one, which is about Syria, which is coming out. That's going to be called Road, and I think I'm writing a third one called Hell. And the other thing I've done, which has sold about 170,000 copies in Britain, hardly any in the States, but it's a lovely story, based on a true story, set in Burma. And it's called Elephant Moon, this book, and I'm very proud of it. It's out, you can get it via Amazon. And it's a book about the war in Burma in 1942, and there were some mixed-race orphans who were half British and half American, half Burmese, and they were kind of the human stain of empire. And when the Japanese invaded, the rich British and Americans flew out to the safety of India or took ships. And these poor people, these poor kids, were stuck. And they were too white, too European to be safe once the Japanese had arrived. But they weren't white enough to get out. And eventually, after a lot of trouble, they get to the last river. It's 1,000 yards across. They cannot cross, and the Japanese have sunk the last ferry, and they're in trouble. They may die. And then a herd of working teak elephant come through, and the elephant guy, there's a bloke called Sam, an Englishman, says, what's your problem? And their teacher, Grace, says, have you got a ferry? Because otherwise the children, they can't swim, they'll die. And Sam says, we don't need a ferry. The children can ride on the back of the elephants. But can the elephants climb the mountains higher than the Alps over which Hannibal took his elephants to get to Italy? can these elephants get the kids to the safety of India? And so it's based on a true story, and I love that story. I gave a copy of it. I tried to give a copy of it to Tommy Davis because I found out where it is. Well, just for fun. And I said, you know, Tommy, and I do mean this. I'd love to meet Tommy once he's left, and we'll have a civilized and proper, nice conversation, maybe over a whiskey. That would be my preference. And I wish no one in Scientology harm. I just want them to realize that they've been suckered.
Wow. All right. Well, that's great. That's great. Wow. Deep. So, number 10. Let's see if I can get you to do this. Number 10. In your best John Sweeney roar, tell me what you thought about this podcast and this interview.
You are not there! Actually, you were.
That's perfect. I hope you enjoyed the interview, John. I definitely have. I wish we had more time to talk more. I could talk to you all day.
No, it was a pleasure, Chris. Thank you very much.
No problem. You take care, man. Stay in touch.
I will.
So that was the award-winning John Sweeney with an amazing performance there. I love this shout. I just want to address something I talked about with Narconon earlier. I misspoke and spoke about the introspective rundown. That wouldn't have been done within Narconon. So I misspoke on that question. I was actually kind of remember the name of the sweat out, the fatty tissue with the toxins in it, but it was, I believe it used to be called the purification rundown. I'm seeing on their website now. It's called the New Life Detoxification, which sounds much nicer. Sounds real sweet. But yeah, if I'm wrong and I misspoke on anything else with that Narconon interview as far as talking about you know, them doing suggesting people go to Narconon for other medications, and if I misspoke on the Kyle Brandon story, you can let me know in the comments. In the meantime, I gotta tell you about my guest coming up next week. It's amazing. Wow. Lois Riesdorf talked to me for an interview on this show. So next week you'll get part one of Lois Riesdorf. I'm surprised I fit it into two parts because she goes way back to being born into the South African mission to the Apollo, working directly with L. Ron Hubbard. So there's a lot of great stories, a lot of great insights you're going to get from Lois in the coming weeks. Can't wait to bring you that. Until then, I'll see you next Thursday right here on Come Get Some, and Friday right here on Come Get Some Extra. Stay connected. That about sums it up. Take care, everybody.
All the spot analysis. Am I crazy? No. You can do
it. Are we on a podcast?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna come get some.
If you want some, come.
Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get
some.
My favorite, though.
Am I?
You're my favorite.
Oh, thank you
yeah.
so much.
I think not. You put me on the e-meter and ask me a question, and the meter would float.